Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Isaiah 62 is where we're going to be looking at today. am I on? Can y'all hear me? Am I good? All right. Happy Father's Day to you fathers out there. Austin texts me after Bryce did that, and my response was, I don't know if I'm going to be able to worship that song anymore. But I was. It's fine. Everything's fine. But I didn't even say microwaved one time. As I was preparing this message, now I knew months ago what God wanted me to speak on. He just had this one word in my brain back when I was preparing the Mother's Day message. And like I say at Mother's Day, I'll say today, I'm preaching to the fathers, but I think it's a message that's for everybody. No matter your age, no matter your sex, it doesn't matter. Because we can all glean things from God's Word in different ways and types. I remember when Addison was first born. Now, you got to understand that Heather had problems when she was pregnant with Addison, had to get her gallbladder taken out right after Addison was born. And then it wasn't long after that, she had cysts taken off her ovaries. And so it put me being like super dad there for a little while. And I remember Addison woke up in the middle of the night, and so I go and I fix her a bottle, and I sit down in my recliner, and I go to feed her, and Addison makes the most god-awful face I could imagine. I didn't know what was going on. I'd grabbed the bottle from the night before that was on the nightstand and stuck that in her mouth. The point being, dads, we're not perfect, all right? Sometimes we're not even good at it, all right? I mean, the biggest misconception most people have about parenting is that they know what they're doing. All right, but for the most part, I think all parents in here will agree with me. We operate on prayer, and we try to do the best that we can. Like, and that's, I wish we could sit here and give y'all more confidence in that. But you new parents, if you're struggling with that, we all have to. If I could figure out how in the world my mom worked a full-time job, kept the house clean, and put dinner on the table, I'd be doing really good. But we have this calling as men of God to be the head, the leaders, those that take a certain role instituted by God and placed in our life. Now, I've always said this, that I believe God is very intentional in the way in which he created Adam and then created Eve. He did not take Eve from the foot in that she should serve Adam. And he did not take Eve from the head in that Adam should serve her. He took the rib, that which protects the most valuable parts of our body. That's how he created Eve from Adam. And it's not because he wants man to lord over woman or woman to lord over man. He wants us to understand that women need men and men need women. It's the way in which God created us. And we have this calling as men, yes, to be the heads of the household, the leaders spiritually, but that calling is not a lordship calling. It's a love calling. It's the same calling that Christ had for the church. It's a sacrificial calling that we as men are supposed to sacrifice for our families. I believe that we need to be challenged today. I know I do. We need to be reminded of the call that we have in our life. We need to be pushed towards excellence because I think there's a lot at stake from us surrendering to that which God called us to do. Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7 says this, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night they never keep silent. You who remember the Lord, take no rest for yourselves, and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Now, all those weeks ago when God placed this one word on my mind, it was watchmen. It was this calling that we have as men, as fathers, as grandfathers, as sons, this overwhelming calling that we should have to be watchmen. Now, the world is not a safe place. The world is not an easy place. I believe I've protected my kids too much sometimes. and I've sheltered them too much, that they don't understand that this world is not kind and it is not easy. And there's lots of people in this world that do not have the best intentions out for them. You see, we need as men to understand the calling that we have as a watchman. He said, I have appointed watchmen. Watchmen are basically men that stand on the walls that have one job, and that's to watch. That's to look out, to observe, make sure there's nothing fishy, nothing sketchy happen, and make sure that anybody that approaches the city, we know who, what, when, where, and why they're coming. Because the world is not a safe place. Therefore, God places people in positions of overwatch. Now, I believe mothers have been placed in a position of overwatch. I believe y'all have a calling and a purpose to make sure that your children are covered in areas when it comes to certain aspects. But I believe when it comes to the true calling of the person that's supposed to stand above the family, supposed to protect the family, supposed to watch out for the family, supposed to weather the storm, supposed to do all the things like that, it's the men. It's the dads. It's the fathers. It's the grandfathers. I don't think you graduate from your service as a watchman. No matter how old you get, no matter how old your kids get, you're always going to look out for them. And then these, from what I understand, these beautiful things called grandchildren come along that make it worth putting up with your kids all those years. I'm looking forward to it. And then you start overwatching a different aspect in a different way at a different time. But we all have that calling into our lives. You see, I believe the family is too important for us to leave unguarded and unwatched. I believe the family unit is too important for the betterment of the world, the betterment of the gospel, the betterment of the churches. And yet, as we look around and we see our families and we watch what our kids are being exposed to, and as we understand the sin that surrounds us so much, you can look at family after family after family, and there's no one on the walls. There's no one watching. There's no one looking after them. Think about this for just a second. Rarely do today's kids are they unsupervised. I used to leave at sunup and be gone all day. My mom wouldn't know where I was or what I was doing. I didn't have a cell phone. And number two, most families wouldn't let us in the house to even call our parents to let them know what was going on. And we ran around all over off Alabama doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I can't even fathom how my parents did that. Evan was cutting the yard yesterday in the backyard, just cutting grass. And I sat at the bar where I could see him go back and forth, just in case. Our kids are more supervised yet unsupervised. We'll watch them everywhere they go. And if they go to the park, we'll make sure we don't take our eyes off of them. In my opinion, it's the reason why travel ball has got so important or so popular. It's because it's organized play. Because we can't let our kids go and do like we could, we sign them up for stuff like travel ball and things like that so that they're in a fence and protected and they can play all they want to. Yet I'm appalled at the parents that don't look at phones, parents that don't check apps, parents that don't look at internet history, parents that are allowing part of their life to be completely unguarded, yet we'll never let them out of our sight. The same way this world is a dangerous place, the internet is a wonderful, beautiful place, but it's awful. And there's temptations and there's traps that once introduced can take up years and years and years of their life and pull them farther and farther and farther away from God. The family is too important for God to leave it unguarded. And so he called men, he called us, he called fathers, he called grandfathers to be watchmen. And to be watchmen means that we have a job and a role to do, and we no longer can check out and just let the women do it. God did not call you to be a provider alone. He called you to be a provider and a protector. He called you to be that which the children need, and kids need a loving and compassionate mother. But I honestly think the family needs harsh, stern, godly men. Not pushovers. Not people that have checked out of what's going on. But men who are involved, and men who will step up, and men who will say what needs to be said. Because he goes on there, he said, not only do we have a calling of watchmen, he goes, not only has he said, I appointed you watchmen, he tells us where the posture of the watchmen. He said, where are we supposed to be? He said, on the walls. We are not only called, we have a post and a position. We have a place to be as fathers, place to be as men, a place to be as husbands, and it's on the walls. Hard to be on our walls from our recliner, our couch. And I'll get real personal to myself. It's hard to be on the walls in your phone. I have this calling to be on the wall at our posts and at our position. One of the commentators put it this way: we are to be on the walls, wakeful, faithful, and willing to endure no matter what. You want to envision an illustration of what it's supposed to be like as for us as fathers to be watchmen on call at all times? Think of the tomb of the unnamed soldier, and that man that marches back and forth no matter the weather, no matter the heat, no matter what goes on. He doesn't leave his post until he's relieved of his post. And that's the calling that we have as men, to not leave our post, not to give up, not to shy away, not to kind of, well, I'm just going to take a break. I was talking to Jared earlier today, and I remember right after we moved here, Heather and Addison went down to see family. And I was so excited. I was like, I'm going to have a whole weekend to myself. I'm going to play video games until I can't see anymore. And I'm just going to order some pizza and never leave the house for the whole weekend. 30 minutes later, I'm like, this is stupid. I wish they'd come home. I'm bored to death. There's something that happens in your brain when you become a dad. There's something that happens in your life when you become a dad, and you can't fathom not doing the things that you've done. And all the things that you gripe and you grumble and you complain about, when they're gone, guess what? You're sad. There are a couple things in fatherhood that I'm happy to be done with. Diapers is one. Formula is another. But outside of that, there's a lot of stages that I miss. I miss Evan scooting around on his butt instead of crawling. And come next year, I'm going to miss Addison playing softball at the high school. And those things are going to come up. Those things that are a burden, those things that are frustrating, those things that anger you are the very things that you miss. Why? Because God has equipped us as men to stand there and watch over them. And when they leave and they go away and those things disappear, it takes a little bit of us with it. You see, we have a calling to be watchmen. We have a posture, and that's on the walls. Too many fathers have left the walls, and we're allowing sin and temptation to come into our houses and to our lives unguarded. But if you go on and you look a bit farther, he starts telling us the purpose of a watchman. He said, all day and night they would never be silent. Now, men, this is your moment. This is your opportunity. This is your time to look at your wife and say, the Bible says for me to never keep silent. So don't ever tell me to hush again. Because we do have a calling. We do have this authority. Moms are always going to see the best side of things. And dad is always should be there to see the other side. You see, again, this is a position of service and love. He's not saying, I want you to go around and I want you to hurt your wife. I don't want you to go around and verbally hurt your children. I don't want you to degrade them or bash them. He said, it's not what he's calling. It's this servitude and love. He said, in service and in love, you should never be quiet. You should never keep silent. If you see sin, you should call it sin. If you see something you don't like, you should call out for what you don't like. If By no means, y'all know my wife. I don't lord over my wife in any way, shape, or form. All right? We make most decisions together. And most times that we disagree, we sit down and we talk about it and we try to see it from every side before we make a decision. But I have veto power in my house. And there are moments in time that I look at Heather and say, this is what's going to happen. And it don't happen often. When I left the interview for Piney Grove Baptist Church, we had no intention of moving six, seven hours away from our family. We were only coming up here to be polite. And I sat down in the car next to Heather. I looked her in the face and said, I don't know how you feel about it, but we're moving to Ardmore, Alabama. It wasn't a question. Because there are moments in time as men that we cannot be silent with what God's called us to do or what God's telling us to do or how God's calling us to stand up. There are moments in time that you must, even if it upsets your wife, you must be called to speak and speak truth and speak love and speak hope, yes, but speak. Too many men are silent today. Too many men are quiet. Too many men are in the background of their children and their wives' family. Too many men are allowing their wives to run the household. Too many households are being run by the children. I remember one day a few months ago, I woke Evan up on a Sunday morning. Do I have to go to church? And I said, Evan, what in our relationship together makes you think you have an option to go to church? If your bone's not sticking out of your leg or snot's not running out of your nose, you're going to church. There's never been a question for that in our life. Why would you ever question that? I don't know. I'm tired. I don't care what you are, Evan. Get out of bed and get dressed. The purpose of us as watchmen to not keep silent. Men, use your voices. Keep silent no longer. Let your children hear you pray. Let your children hear you praise God. If the men would speak up in worship, it'd be a powerful and moving experience. You know, one of the most impactful worship services I've ever been to? Now, I wasn't even a Christian. It was at First Baptist Church in Op, Alabama. My grandfather, it was Baptist Men's Day. Y'all remember Baptist Men's Day? And my grandfather invited me and my family to come, and they had a men's choir. They filled the choir up with men. And it was over, I mean, just that deep baritone coming out of the choir, singing those hymns, was one of the most impactful services in my life. When I became a teenager, somebody paid for me to go to Promise Keepers. For the first time in my life, I saw men actively take a spiritual lead and watch men worship and watch men pray. And it was huge. Because most of what I saw in the church, most of what I experienced at church was women. Women leading, women doing. And in those moments where men started doing those things, man, it overwhelmed me to see it. Let people hear you share what God has done for you. Edify, encourage, lift up your wife and your children. Pour into them spiritually so that when you have to take one of those hard moral or spiritual stands, they understand. If all we ever do is yell at our children, they don't understand the love that we have for God. But if they hear us worship, they hear us pray, they hear us lift up voices, they hear our testimonies, they hear us sharing the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then in rare moments we have to stand up and be harsh to them, it's a completely different story. We as men, we can't just embrace the easy thing. The easy thing for us to do is yell, right? The easy thing for us to do is get mad and put our foot down. You know, the foot is down. That's the easy part of fathering, parenting. The hard part is the gentle part. We have a calling of watchmen. We have this posture that we're supposed to be on the walls. Our purpose is to not be silent. And lastly, the perseverance of a watchman. Sit in there and give no rest. Imagine the scenario and time that it was in Isaiah's day. It's a little bit different than today. Most armies, most countries didn't have sitting armies. They had to rise the army so that the soldiers had normal jobs that they did. And then when times of war came, they would call and these people would meet up and they would join. And then once they joined and got everybody there, then they would march into war, which means these cities were often left by themselves. Their garrison was the only thing that they had. And so what they did in those times is they would build walls around those cities and they would lock the gates. But on top of those walls, they placed these watchmen that we are talking about. To fall asleep on duty or to leave one's post was no small offense. Imagine if we as a church were one of these cities and it was my time to be the watchman. And the person that comes behind me to replace me finds me over in the corner asleep. Do you think that's some small offense? Something that's going to be brushed under the rug? Even in Jesus' day, the soldiers in which allowed Jesus to escape from the tomb should have been put to death. Because they lost something they should have lost. The punishment upon them was death. The only way for them to survive was to be bribed by powerful people. Because their post was not being watched the way it should have been. You see, we have this calling, and we need to understand, number one, how much more important is your family than a city? I don't know about y'all, but it's more important. It's more important for me to stand up for mine and my own than it is for me to worry about what's going on in your houses. I'm sorry about that. But I can only focus on me and what I can do. And the calling to be a watchman is placed centrally into my heart for my family. And if it spreads around and as men step up and say, I'm going to be a watchman in my family, then we can start building alliances where we're looking out for each other. We need a world in which we look out for each other again. Y'all agree with me? How many people in here have been whooped by somebody else's mom or daddy? How many people in here has ever whooped somebody that wasn't your kid? It's a different society that we live in. There was not a parent on our block that wouldn't step out a door and yell at somebody if they were acting up. And now you're scared to say anything to a kid because you're afraid of how the parents are going to take it or what the parents are going to say or if the parents get upset about it. We've become so scared that we've lost this will to protect and to look after. Today we leave our families unguarded and unprotected as no small offense. Men, we cannot grow weary in doing good. God has called us to the walls. He has given this calling to look and to speak and to be that watchman. And like I said earlier in the sermon, there's never a moment in which you retire from that. Give no rest. Doesn't mean give no rest until you're a certain age. There's never a time that we as men should want off those walls. I read a story of the U.S. Open in 1999, which came down to a battle between Payne Stewart and Phil Mickelson. Stewart would eventually win the coveted trophy with a 15-foot putt on the 18th hole. While the battle was being fought on the course, there was something equally exciting happening off the course. Mickelson's wife, Amy, was on the brink of giving birth to their first child. As the crowd was cheering for Payne Stewart, he quickly looked at Phil, who was obviously disappointed with loss. As the two men met, Payne reached out and literally held Phil's face in his hands. The words Payne spoke to his competitor and colleague had little to do with golf championships, winning or losing majors, or silver trophies. Payne had something far more important on his mind. He said, "You and Amy are going to have a baby, Phil, and there's nothing like being a father." Mickelson would later say about Payne's comments, "Payne wasn't thinking of himself at the time of his greatest triumph." And that showed a lot of class. That showed the type of individual Payne Stewart was. Dads, what type of individuals will we be? Quite frankly, our greatest triumph will come when we take serious the calling of being watchmen. As we go into a time of invitation, I want to challenge you men one last time. Number one, I started reading a book, and that book challenged me this week. Challenged me that our walk with the Lord is not this one-time prayer and this weekly commitment or this daily commitment. Our walk with the Lord is supposed to be a pursuit, something in which we pursue after Him. Now, I don't know about y'all, but pursuit is not a leisurely jog. Pursuit is not what you do when you're in the mood or when you want to. Pursuit is what you do with everything that you have in all aspects, in all times. We have this calling to pursue Him. So first off, dads, I want to ask, are you pursuing Christ? Are you pursuing Christ in such a way that if your kids only did half of what you did, that they would find themselves close to Him? I believe in this thing called a ceiling of leadership. This church will never grow closer to the Lord than I do as the pastor of this church. My family would never be closer to the Lord than I am as the head of the family. Men, are you pursuing Christ? Secondly, the second part of the second chapter of that book, which was equally as powerful, Chris, you didn't warn me about, he talked about sin. He says, so for some reason, we think that sin is this thing that if we pray hard enough, long enough, it just magically disappears from our life. He said, no, getting sin out of your life is uprooting. It's pulling out. He said, in the same sense that if you walk up to a flower bed and you see a weed and you grab that thing and you pull it out, sometimes it don't come easy, right? You got to rip it out. You want a little grosser analogy, it's like a dentist and a tooth. Pulling it out by the roots. You see, we have this calling not just to pursue Christ. We have this calling as men to uproot the stuff in our life that doesn't need to be there. We need to pull out the aspects of our life and the sin that has so easily entangled us. We have to grab that stuff and we have to rip it out of our life. If not for our good, for the good of our family. Men, are you pursuing Christ? Are you taking serious the sin that's in your life? Are you doing anything and everything that you can to uproot as much sin as you can so that you can be the person God's called you to be? You see, I don't do this often, and I know men, we don't like this. But in this time of invitation, it's opportunity. Opportunity we shouldn't take lightly. And yeah, you can sit there, stand there, and you can do all the business you want to with the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, there's something about coming to the altar. And I want to ask you men today, is your family worth coming to the altar and praying for? If you don't need the prayer, if you don't need to be uprooted, if you're already pursuing after Him, if all that thing is true, do you believe your family's worth praying for? Do you believe the protection of the Lord is worth praying over? I challenge you as men. Pray for your family today. Challenge you as men to stand before God and appeal to Him to make you the man you called Him to be the watchman over your family, and to give you your voice back so that you can stand up spiritually for our families once again. Y'all stand with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.